Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to The Clean Slate Podcast. And this is a bonus episode because Dune came out. And we're a bunch of rude Duners over here on the Clean Slate Podcast.
You could consider this a monster movie because of the worms.
The worms? It's really not. maybe Tremors.
Yeah.
Because of its worms. But yeah, we're here to talk about Dune Part 2. For those of you who don't know, I'm a big fan of Dune. Daniel has learned to love Dune.
I have.
And this movie has become a box office smash
yep.
at the moment. And we wanted to hop on the hype, talk about it before we forget about it.
Yes, before we make a whole month about it.
Yeah. Should we start Dune month next year?
Dune, yeah, and just watch the original.
You just watch the original movie, the two miniseries, both of these. That would be a whole month's worth of content.
Okay, so I just found out, or I'm just looking, Anya Taylor-Joy is not credited in this movie, which is really weird. Because she's in it for a solid 10 seconds.
It's a cameo, though.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it's so you don't get spoiled like who she is.
I mean, but wasn't even Christian Bale credited as one of the clones in Star Wars? Or what was
Maybe.
The actor? I forget what the actor was.
I don't know. But that's just because they probably wanted their name on a Star Wars movie or something.
Probably. Anyway, okay, guys. So here is Dune Part 2's logline. Paul Atreides unites with Chani and the Fremen while seeking revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'm going to just start off by saying this movie was a solid 9 out of 10. So good.
Solid 4.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, it was probably, right now it sits at the movie of the year for me. R.I.P. Oscar Isaac. Love that guy, but he was weak.
I mean, has anything worth watching come out this year so far?
No, exactly. This is why it's sitting solid at the top.
I mean, as far as like, it might still be in my, it'll probably be in my top five, regardless of what comes out, unless something like really crazy. And especially for a film like of a big budget like this, like it's probably going to be the only big budget film.
Yeah, I was going to say something like Dune of this caliber. I don't really know of anything else that's coming out that is like this stacked up cast.
You said what? I was going to say like there's like Deadpool and like.
Oh, yeah. Deadpool will be good. That'll probably be in my top five.
All kind of have the same flavor. Dune for such a large budget and cast feels, you know, it has kind of like the indie sensibilities as far as like attention to detail and storytelling go.
Yeah. So yeah, with this stacked cast, we have Timothy Chalamet, which we have confirmed it is Timothy and not Timotei, as Carson would consistently call it. We have Zendaya.
Well,
Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Dave Bautista, Christopher Walken, Lea Seydoux, Stellan Skarsgård, and the list kind of ends there.
Goes on. it keeps going.
We have a cameo from, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy. So it's just this movie has all of the right people in it. And the memes are going crazy, especially with Stilgar's as it was written.
Oh, yeah.
As it is written. That is just right now the biggest
Al-Ghalib. Was it Al-Ghalib?
Yeah, Al-Ghabib or something like that. Yeah, whatever.
Us, when we post this episode, our fans.
Anyway, so let's just run through it real quick. I mean, as quickly as we can. We don't want to actually spoil this one. This is still hot in the theaters.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so basically this picks up almost immediately after the first film.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much immediately. And things get rolling pretty quick, and you basically see Paul's rise into this prophecy that's been manufactured by the Bene Gesserit. That's a long story that we don't need to get into, but basically that's it. And then we're finally seeing him hit back against the Harkonnens. So things are getting more intense.
Harkonnens.
And we also get the Harkonnens, and then we see more of the kind of the We don't see a lot of the outer world, but we see a little bit of the Harkonnen's planet as well as the Emperor and his daughter's area. So we're getting a little bit more intrigue there. But essentially, we're locked into Dune world here. You know, things are going crazy, yeah. And it's more action forward than the first film.
Yes.
So if that was something that bothered you about the first one, you're in for a treat. This has the same like storytelling skill and visual skill, mm-hmm. but way more action because there's no more set. Oh, there is setup definitely for part three, but it's not all set up this time around.
Yeah. And to speak on that point, like the first movie, I felt like it was necessary, especially introducing us to a whole brand new world, right? Like it's not Star Wars. It's not Star Trek. I would say for the most part, unless you watch them, unless you read the books, you really don't know what you're coming into. So yeah. The setup in the
unless you've seen like the David Lynch movie, which does not follow the books very well. Neither does this, but
let's go right into dislikes and likes. For likes, it didn't really hit any
you're talking about dislikes?
Oh, yeah, I know. I kind of jumped on that. But no, for likes, hit all the categories for me. It was great music, great style. You were introduced to different styles where they filmed on a infrared camera for that entire Black Sun.
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest things ever. And then
that was one of my favorite segments of the film because it takes you out of this main story and it keeps you from getting bored with what is going on Arrakis. So you can finally get like a break from it. And then the soundtrack on that part is it's so unique compared to the rest of the film.
I love the Bene Gesserit. So is cool Hans too. Zimmer. So, we obviously kind of knew that this was going to be worth it.
He goes off.
It's just visuals, character development. You're learning about the world and the story, and you're learning about the growth of Paul Atreides and, his plan of everything that's kind of happening. And
golden path.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever say the goal. There's a couple things that are in the books that this isn't a dislike. It's just funny to me. Like the golden path, they never say that, but they definitely do. And then they don't say jihad. They say holy war instead. And I'm like, interesting move there.
Interesting choice.
We know what it is.
Yeah.
It really is a gorgeous movie. I got to watch it twice. So the first time I watched it in Dolby with Alyssa at the premiere. And it was fantastic way to watch this film. The sound was amazing. But then the second time I watched it with my brother-in-law. And we went and watched it in IMAX. And that second time around, I just focused on the visuals and it really is a gorgeous film. Like every frame is like a painting. And I think there's something there for everyone. Like if you're more into visuals, that's going to be there for you. If you're there for performances, I think Timmy does a fantastic performance. I think Austin Butler has a very transformative performance in this. So if you're not sold on him, this might be a chance for you to see him kind of go off a little bit. And really, everyone does a great job. Javier also is fantastic in this. He's so charismatic.
Austin Butler's character, for me, was just almost the only complaint, really, or dislike I have is that he was thrown into it maybe a little bit too late. Like, we were well already past halfway of the movie where they introduce now a new main character that's going to have
a significant I would have loved to see more of him.
Yeah.
But at that point, are we going to just end up with three movies for Dune the first Dune book? I'd be okay with it. I think it is tricky because you also want him to be a little bit mysterious too.
Right. Yeah. And for the biggest, I wouldn't say my biggest fave of the movie is the anticipation building between in this whole movie. Mm-hmm. It does carry a lot of action throughout the movie, right? There's a lot of hand-to-hand combat, explosions, all the things that guys or people, who love these types of things.
When they take down the harvesters and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But at the very end, it's all building to a huge fight in war.
Yep.
And they really, really kind of prepared it nicely for that. The only complaint with that is that the war, I wanted it to be a little bit longer, but then there was like three extra battles after.
You're such a bro. Yeah, you're such a bro. No,
I know, but like, come on. All that anticipation just to gloss over for like a 4-minute scene.
Lord of the
Rings,
you know,
is intensely like a long, elongated battle, and you almost are like, okay, this is a little bit too much. So finding a happy medium between those, I thought would have been
I mean, that's a awesome. Fair. I mean, my only, I can't even say it's a complaint, but like, there are some pretty drastic changes in this that I actually, I'm okay with. So like, mainly around his sister, she's like 2 years, there's a time jump in the book.
Yeah.
A 2-year time jump. So his sister's already born. So they had to do some changes to that character, which I'm okay with, because I do feel like they're building towards the second book as a film, Dune Messiah. So I'm okay with what they changed. I'm really curious to see how it's going to work in the next installment of this, how those changes are going to affect that book, because that I think is the perfect ending to this like trilogy here. If they can pull that off, the ending will blow people away. But also the changes with Chani, I think, were actually really good too. She's given a lot more agency than in the book, and in the book she doesn't like really threaten. She's not threatened by Paul being like this messiah figure. Like, she doesn't find any issue with that. In this, they changed her religious affiliation, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it makes for a more captivating story, though, because I saw the director, he was talking about how when Frank Herbert released the first book, people were like, oh, Paul's the best. I love Paul. I want to be like Paul when I grow up. And he's like, that's not the point of my book. Like, you shouldn't like him, technically.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and they definitely kind of hit home with not, you shouldn't be like Paul in this movie.
Because I was worried like people weren't going to get it because they didn't read the book. But I think those changes helps the general audience understand more what's going on.
Yeah.
And like what the overall point of this is, like an anti, like don't follow leaders, basically, is the plot. Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah, or like blindly follow.
Don't trust messiah figures is what they're saying, which is a very interesting like philosophical conversation. All the above, and I think it presents it in a really cool way, so I was happy with those changes, to be honest,
for sure. Anyway, well, other than that, I don't really have much else to say about this movie, because we don't want to get into plot spoilers,
the leads, because keep it short, it's for you guys. Go watch it,
still a week old. But yeah, I'm going to go definitely see this again in IMAX. Carson and I did partake in getting the AMC Dune popcorn buckets. So
the Danussi. we do have some NSFW photos of us with our Dune popcorn buckets. So if you follow us on Instagram, go check them out. I got some. I posted mine on my regular story.
Yeah.
And I got the most unhinged comments from people.
That's awesome.
Like, grossly unhinged. We all need to chill.
Extra butter, no popcorn. Did you eat popcorn out of yours?
Yes.
I didn't.
I wanted to preserve mine. My hand stuck. It was like I'd go in and it would like grip my arm and like pull it out. And Alyssa was like, can you stop eating that popcorn? Like, she wouldn't eat out of it.
Oh, and my gosh.
But every time one of the worms would pop up on screen, I'd, like, cuddle it. And, like, because the last movie, I dressed up as a worm. So, you know, this time I got to fist a worm. Before we close, he who controls the spice controls the galaxy.
All right, guys. Well, go check out Dune Part 2. It is still in theaters. It is such a good watch. Even if you don't know the world completely, it doesn't really leave you out of the dark too much. But with that being said, we're going to continue with our monster madness.
That's a clean slate, and I cannot wait to become the God Emperor of Dune. I want to be a giant worm with no penis.
Oh my God, you're the worst.